Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. I'm just delighted to be here talking with you and thanking you for joining us and touching us during this next hour so that we can share with one another what is in our hearts and minds. If you wish to call in for a reading from the cherubim, the number here is 877-876-5227. And if you're calling in from Canada, it's 888-810-8322. What I give on the radio is really just a small snippet of information that comes from an individual's records. And what the cherubim usually do is when I get a question from the radio, they will show me a series of pictures that quickly conveys the idea and the answer to the question. But when I do a full reading for someone, it takes hours and sometimes days, in the sense that the energies are so incredibly intense that my human side cannot sit that long to take the whole thing. So sometimes these readings might take me 3 days to produce. And part of it is because of the tremendous emotion that comes along with the energies. And so what I like to do once in a while is give little parts of some of these records to you, because what is evolving as more and more people request a reading is an incredible story. It is, yes, a story of love, of great planning, of where we have been and where we are going, but the words in which it is expressed is so incredibly beautiful. And that is why I thought today what I would do is bring a few thoughts from some recent readings that I have done for people. What I have found over the last several months is that there have been cherubim who have come forth and who have asked for readings. And the thought, wow, cherubim are here in the flesh, actually living on this planet, it is true. And there is a story about the Knights Templar that is on one of my websites that you can reach through carolynevers.com or go directly to akashic-readings.com. And it talks about how these cherubim have been reincarnating through time. What it explores is some ideas of the Knights Templar, the very first ones, who the reading is saying that these were some of the original cherubim that came to this planet and were reincarnated at that particular time. What I would like to do right now is take you back to the far reaches, beyond the veil of antiquity, to that time, perhaps a fabled time that we all seem to be aware of on some level, and that is the time of Atlantis. Atlantis had a very stormy history. It didn't begin that way. It began as a very loving and advanced culture. And there is an explanation of what happened in Atlantis in Archangel Michael's book, Earth History, Past, Present, and Future. And he explains how individuals from another planet were allowed to come here on Earth. And I'm not going to go through that story because that's rather involved. However, what I am going to talk about is what happened at the first fall of it in Atlantis. And I've been receiving this information over a period of time, but just recently, in this particular reading, there was more information about that. And the cherubim saw in the records that the very first fall in Atlantis was because of the use of what we would call atomic energy. The bombs were similar to what we have used in our recent history, but not exactly the same. The bombs there were more powerful. And they say that the burst of energy that your scientists call fusion was much larger than anything that has ever been experienced in Earth's history. And they go on to say that the particles from these explosions were driven inward in the planet and not outward. And this explosion was so intense and powerful that the path of the axis of this planet was actually moved. And the Elohim were extremely concerned about this because of the way that the strings in the universe are constructed. They were not certain just how far this destruction and powerful implosion would move along these strings and just how much of this part of the cosmos would be taken down in a string of events, and so they called for the cherubim. For those of you who have been listening to these stories, the cherubim is a group of angels in the center of the cosmos. That is where they reside for the most part. When they were brought into form, that is where they lived. And their purpose was twofold. They had to do with creation, and they were masters of vibration. That is why they were called to the planet in Atlantis. So there is a part of the cherubimic realm that takes the vibration from source, moves it out through the cosmos, where there is imprinted upon this record everything that has to do with matter of any fashion. And then it is brought back to source, where source then reads and understands everything that is happening in the cosmos. The second band of cherubim work with the records that we are working with as these records advance up through the cosmos, starting with the individuals. They hold the final record. And when source requests a certain record, they turn this record over to source, they compact it in a certain fashion, where source then is able to understand and assimilate what is in each individual's record. So this was the group that was called into, they had to actually come down into form because they were not able to do their record in the center of the cosmos. The mission was deemed very dangerous. As I said earlier, it couldn't be determined how far the strings of energy would extend into the cosmos. And the cherubim described this explosion like an imploding black hole. And they also talk about another universe which is connected by a string to our planet. And it is nearly unseen at this time, and that science doesn't understand that there are connections in different universes and different dimensions. And so in a sense, we have strings that, according to the cherubim, connect different universes and dimensions to one another. And they said this was a very serious moment in creation, and the first group came and stabilized these particles. And this was, as we said, because they knew how to work with vibrations. Now, the first cherubim that came, they had to come so fast that a great deal of their reservoir of abilities were lost because they were propelled through the dimensions and then entered this dimension of compacted particles. And so it took a long time for this group to even come back to some semblance of their energetic level. It was not even known if their soul would survive. So they left a part of their soul in the center of the cosmos. They brought most of it with them. So it remained at home so that they could retain memory. So that if that part that was sent forward was disintegrated, their memory wouldn't be completely destroyed. And as you can imagine, this was a tremendous decision because these cherubim who came volunteered for this job. Source was not going to say, you have to leave, you can stay. But rather, Source presented the problem to the cherubim, and those that came volunteered. They didn't want to leave either. They wanted to stay in this home that was nothing but beauty and love. They wanted to stay there, but they chose to leave that home because they loved Source as much as they did, and because they loved Source's creation. Therefore, they volunteered. They volunteered knowing that even though they would be here, even though they might survive, they would have to stay here, caught in this realm for a very long time, to the end of a very, very long cycle, where they would then be able to go back home, where the connections in the cosmos would be such that they could move back through the gateways, and if they so chose, go back to their heavenly abode. And so as you hear this story, you can understand that this took great love and devotion to do this. And here we read this history of this particular cherubim. They didn't know that they were a cherubim. And so many times when a person gets a reading, they have no concept of where they have been or the magnificence of who they are and what they have accomplished. We think so many times of who we are, and perhaps we might even be a little self, but that is not the case at all. When we start to see our journeys and what we've done before memory was cut in this dimension, we are part of a magnificent breed. This beauty of our trail, where we have been. And so, speaking a little bit about the love of these cherubim, the reading goes thus. This is love of a high standard, the highest standard that can be called, one to be called upon to fulfill. Source understands your love and devotion. Upon your book and all the others who were sent to Earth, there is a special designation upon your record. It is a beautiful symbol, and of course, it is a symbol of sacred geometry. It is a large Merkaba, which is a pattern which reflects a section of all there is themselves. And inside the Merkaba, there is a circle, and it looks as if it is spinning. It appears to be sparks coming off of the spinning circle. It looks like sparkles of white light, and as these sparks move towards the center of the circle, the light sparks connect so that the outer band shimmers, and the edge of that band, as it shimmers, turns towards a shade of pink, which is the color of love energy. That pink rolls over at the edges where it becomes a shimmering pool of magenta as it also folds over towards the center of the Merkaba. This may mean nothing to you but words, but when we watch the miracle of love unfold upon itself towards the center of the Merkaba, it is like watching honor and love constantly being sent towards all there is itself. In effect, it is a constant prayer, you might say. It is the pinnacle of adoration, And it is here, constantly encouraging Source, that there is love for Source, no matter what has happened in the cosmos. So many records that we go through have designations such as this. And there is so such beauty to know where you have come from. And so I wanted to read a little bit more so you understand that in your past, there is also the nobility and the beauty of who and what you are. They go on to talk about this particular record, and it says, in your world, it would appear to be like a monument dedicated to a cause, a belief, a very brave soul. In our world, it is a picture of wonder and beauty, and it causes our heart to sing. And there were our connections to Source that saved Source's creation and offer Source their undying love. Our sister, there is nothing greater than this. Nothing. And so we say to you, Source watches this often, and the giving of love and the accepting of love is a beautiful picture unfolding. It is like a magnificent star shining in the heavens. In gratitude, we say, well done. When you and the others come back, there will be a great recognition and celebration, for love and devotion never dies in the universal record. Your service is written in the bank of soul activity for all to see. All who are aware of these records and review them are aware of you. There can be no greater love or accomplishment. And we honor you along with all the celestial inhabitants who ever see or use these records. Your bravery is unparalleled. To go from such greatness and be willing to sacrifice it and yourself for the greater love of Source and Source's creation is of the highest possible gift to yourself and to Source. As a cherubim, you are honored in this part where we live. You have no understanding because your memory is not available to you now. But you, as well as we, are the highest layer close to Source, except for the seraphim. My friends, call in for a snippet of who you are, what you are. If you're in the U.S., the phone number here is 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, it is 888-810-8322. I have to say, it is such a privilege to be of service to humanity in this fashion. I look into these thoughts, into our history as a planet, into the Creator's work, and I stand in awe at what I see. Now, if any of you listened to yesterday's show, we talked about energies that are coming in March, April, and May. Archangel Michael is gathering his light workers, and he is giving messages about these energies at the conclave calls. You are invited to be a part of that and participate. You can, if you go to archangelmichaelsconclave.com, sign up for a newsletter, and we will send you the newsletter with the information of when the next conference call is going to be. Archangel Michael is teaching us about what this energy is that is coming. We have a caller that apparently is taking me up on my suggestion. And who is calling?
Yes, my name is Jeanette.
Jeanette?
Yes.
Hi, Jeanette. What can we do for you?
Well, actually, I'm just wondering that what has happened in one of my incarnations that's actually preventing me from transcending asthma?
I will see what we can find out, Jeanette. Have you called into one of our healing shows?
Yes.
You called in on Saturday or a Wednesday?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Were you given any relief from this?
I'm still having it. I'm doing, she gave me suggestions, and I'm still having problems with the asthma.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if there was something that I was doing or in one of my incarnations that perhaps is preventing
it. You know,
I
will do that for you, Jeanette. I will ask. But let me tell you a little something. I think your call was a relatively recent call to our healing show. And you're probably aware that around the physical is the etheric body, is an energy body. You're familiar with that, aren't you? Asking you a question, dear. Around the physical body, there is an energy body, what some call the subtle bodies or the etheric body. Are you familiar with that?
Vaguely.
Okay. Well, just let me refresh your memory a little bit. You probably have read about this, but, you know, it's so easy to forget these things. When our soul comes down into this dimension, it just doesn't plop itself into some physical biology. It goes through processes. And there is a blueprint involved, and there is also an area of energy around the physical that is sort of, you might almost say, a gateway, something that is interacting between our physical biology and the connection to something that is larger than us, the larger part of our soul. If you can picture that, some people have shown this with Kirlian photography, where they have actually taken a picture through an electrical field, and you see these different colors that are moving around the physical. If you haven't seen these pictures, you might do a search on the internet for Kirlian photography, and you can get a concept of what some of this looks like. So we have an energy body around the physical. And when you work with someone who is a healer, or really on any level, they are sometimes working on the physical body direct, but sometimes they are literally working on that energy field. Because what happens to that energy field then ultimately is transferred to the physical body. It takes time to seed itself. Caroline or Shirlene might have mentioned this to you in the past, to drink water and rest. It takes time for this healing to work through this energetic body and then connect to the physical body. So it might, number one, it might be a case that it is just simply that you're integrating this healing, or it might be something else. But I wanted to explain that to you so that you not be discouraged.
Yes, that's good, because I wasn't really familiar with that and I was getting discouraged.
It's important not to become discouraged. In one of the books that has been channeled to me that has come forth on healing, that is Chaos Before Creation, there are 13 masters that discuss every aspect of healing. And this is one of the things that they discuss about bringing negativity and pictures into the mind of something that is not working. You constantly want to keep the impression and the sense of wholeness about yourself, because you are creating your future and your reality for today. So let's say a person has a healing, they become discouraged and they start thinking negative thoughts. This didn't work, nothing is happening, and they are bringing that thought into their physical, and so that can countermand a healing. So the state of mind, the presence of now, this picture of vitality and health is very important to keep in front of you. So with that being said, no matter what you're working with, Jeanette, be very careful about your thoughts. thoughts are things, and thoughts create. And if you constantly think of something that you don't really want in your life, you can attract that through resonance, through thinking sort of like a thought inside out. You then are going to attract into your being something that you don't want. And the movie The Secret right now is taking people's imaginations, because this is basically what they're talking about, that you are creating what you are thinking with your thoughts. So just wanted to give you that little bit of thought first, Jeanette, and we will see if there is something else that is a block. But I'm recalling, I believe I'm recalling your reading now that Caroline had done for you, and it goes back to a period of time when in one of your past lifetimes you were incarcerated in a dungeon. Yes, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember also Caroline going in with God and changing those moments to fresh air instead of mold and the dampness that was there in the dungeon. I remember that very well. So with that being said, Jeanette, let me just ask you one more thing before I see if there is something else here. At the moment, you seem to have had some, relief. Now, has the situation improved at all from the very beginning?
It's improved slightly, but it's not very good now. But actually, it's probably because what you said probably makes sense, but it's just a matter of time, and I'm doing the affirmations and stuff. So
and keep your talk in the present. Don't say I will feel better if that's something that you're using. I am. You see, the words I am are extremely powerful, and anything that you want reinforced should never be spoken of in the future. It should be spoken of as if it is in the present and it exists now. That's something else to remember. So
what you
want to build in your life should be thought of and spoken of as if it actually exists now in the present. Now, I'm going to take a minute. We'll see what we can find, if there is another element here that must be considered. So give me a moment. They are saying that what you are experiencing now is like a time-lapse photography. I don't know if you can understand that, but to explain that a little better is there still seems to be a connection on your part between the present and that event. The event in time was changed, but there was a deep root, a deep connection that was difficult for you to overcome, because that aspect of being held captive was more than one lifetime. The cherubim tell us that if something occurs over three lifetimes, it is more challenging to overcome that, but it doesn't mean that it cannot be overcome. That there is a residue that is linking you between these lifetimes. Now, that particular lifetime was cleared. And, of course, that was healed. But there is some residue covering the same situation that is attracting you to that challenge. Once something happens, there is a resonance that is set up, if it's not cleared, so that in essence you are attracting that same element into your life. And this is what has happened. There was this connection. This can be done. And what they are suggesting is to come back at another time when we have one of the healers, either Caroline or Charlene, to clear there seems to be two other lifetimes that had that same challenge to it, and that those two need to be cleared, and we will be most happy to be of assistance to you in doing this. Meantime, while you are waiting, see your body in complete physical health. Not only see your body, but as you take the breath into your body, feel the joy that this has been cleared, and the joy of what it will feel like to you, or what it does feel like to you, to be completely free of this. So see your body in its perfection. Now, was there ever a time, Jeanette, when you were not you were not noticing the effects of the asthma? Was there ever a part of your life when the asthma did not show up?
Yes.
When was this?
When I was younger.
Okay. Do you have a picture of yourself during this time as a youngster?
Yes.
Put that picture, you might even put several of them, in areas where you can look at them. Envision yourself in that period of time, completely free of this, and feeling the joy of the health that was involved in that moment. Do you think you can do that?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay, so put those pictures around you. Identify yourself as that being that held complete health. Do not be discouraged. Think the positive thoughts, and think of your health as being in the moment. This is the moment where your joy is in complete freedom and ability to breathe uninhibited. So work on that. Call back when either Charlene or Caroline is with me on air, and we'll work on those other two lifetimes.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure, dear. Talk to you later.
Many blessings.
Okay, bye. Before Jeanette called, we were talking about these bands of energy that is coming to the planet during these 3 months. And I thought this was of interest. Touched on this a little bit yesterday, about how there are constellations light years away where there was collisions and explosions, and how this energy, this star material of what we are, comes through the cosmos and enters into our field as gates open and close, and that some of these energies are these components that were ripped from an existing constellation light years away from Earth these energies and compounds are being driven upon a wave that has been called the Eye of Isis. And we talked about this yesterday, how humanity, as we know ourselves, was not here the last time this wave was had come to our planet, that the planet was just in the process of cooling, and it wasn't supporting the life that that we understand. And so the cherubim elaborate a little bit on this and says that this wave moves throughout the cosmos so that periodically every nook and cranny, so to speak, will have its turn in spiritual advancement and molecular change that is of itself necessary to support this growth. Yes.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
This is Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie.
Just wanted
I thought the voice sounded familiar.
Yes.
What can we do for you, Jeannie?
I wanted to see if you can tell me the name of my angel, my archangel that's with me, my warrior angel.
Let me ask you a question. Now, you're talking about the one that Archangel Michael
assigned for me.
Yes. Wasn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Let me ask you some questions, Jeannie. Have you felt the energy of this warrior angel around you?
I feel energy around me a lot, and I'm just learning to try to distinguish which is which.
Kind of difficult in the beginning, isn't it?
It is.
Let's see if we can connect. Now, you haven't personally felt the connection with your warrior angel, but you have felt some essence of some kind of energy. Is that
yes.
What you're... Okay. Over your left shoulder, on the left side of you, what I am seeing is this intense blue color. It is sapphire. It is a dark sapphire color. This is your warrior angel. What I would like for you to do is put your awareness, your consciousness on your left side and see if you can feel this energy. His energy, it's strong. It's very powerful. When you tune into it, you get the sense of an incredibly developed, what you might feel when you see an incredibly developed masculine physique. I even like the sound of that.
Yes.
You know, you see this football player or this wrestler, and he has this perfect physique. Everything is in proportion and is powerful. This is what I want you to put your consciousness there and see if you can feel that power. This is what the first thing I noticed outside of the color was the first thing that I saw. So see first if you can see the color. Now, there is some white light with that blue sapphire, but there is a strength. It is the sense of dependency. You know when you touch that energy, this is something that is powerful and dependable.
Yes.
You can sense this?
Yes.
Okay, I want you to remember how that feels. There is movement around that energy. It reminds me of somebody sitting on the porch in the summertime, and it's a rather close afternoon, a little bit humid, and there's a little bit of breeze moving in the wind. You catch this little bit of breeze, and he is making this motion, this sensation of the best that I can say is this is what it reminds me of, this fresh breath of air. And I'm wondering, tune into that. Tune into what he feels like and see if you can sense that movement that I'm talking about.
Yes, I can.
Okay, this is his manner of communicating with you. And so when you call him, you tune into the color. He has a sword like Archangel Michael. You might see the blue, you might see the white, you might sense this sword. It's very much like Archangel Michael's sword. It's not quite as ornate over the hilt, but it does have some carvings in it. And this sense of movement that I was talking about, that is how he is connected to you.
Okay.
And so in the silence of your heart, say something to him. Introduce yourself to him and something where he could give you a reply. You don't have to say this out loud, but you have touched his energy. And so see if you can now, on this sort of like wafting fresh air that is coming to you, if you receive his answer.
I have a name from him.
Okay, do you care to share it?
Lucas.
Lucas.
Is that an archangel's name?
It doesn't matter. See, you must not doubt that.
Okay, then I don't doubt it, because that's what has come to me.
Okay. You write that down. You have the name of your angel. You have touched his essence. And what I want to talk to you about is now that you have made connection with your warrior angel, remember what Archangel Michael said during that conference as to how these angels are to be used. Do you remember that? I'm not putting you on a spot. We're just kind of, this isn't a test. It's not a fail passing mark. But I want to bring this to your attention in case you don't remember it, because it's important.
Okay, tell me.
What do you remember about why were these angels assigned to the people who were on the conference call?
Because we're his light workers and we're helped to bring in the light.
Yes, that's part of it. That's true. Absolutely. Let me help you out a little. Angels cannot arbitrarily, there are a few occasions where when they are sent by source that they can come and they can do things on their own, but that, for the most part, doesn't happen. What usually happens is humanity steps in and makes a request, and the angels are there to carry out that request. And one of the requests that we can make to these warrior angels is to turn our attention to what is going on in the Middle East and ask these angels to resolve the situation in peace and love.
Yes.
So what I would suggest to you is, now that you have this dear angel's name and know that this particular angel has been assigned to you, that you can ask this warrior angel to perform such things as this.
I will do that.
Now, do you feel his joy?
Yes.
He's been waiting for you to connect to him, dear.
Yes.
He wants nothing more than to work with light workers to bring peace in the world. He also wants to be a missionary for love, so that as we're going through these energies, when you find that there are some people who might be unbalanced, who need some balancing and love, that you also send this angel to help perform that help for other souls.
Yes, I remember that one.
I'm just delighted that you have made contact with your warrior angel, Jeannie.
I am too. And I thank you for helping me.
My pleasure. Now, you think you can do this in the future now on your own?
Yes, I do.
Well, I'm delighted. Call in again, dear.
Thanks, and I love listening to your show. You have a great day.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Jeannie was calling in, and it is actually a reminder to me, and thank you, Jeannie. One of the things that we did on this conference call with Archangel Michael was he assigned warrior angels, his warrior angels, to all the people who were on the conference call. And I have to tell you, we never know what our dear Archangel Michael's going to do. There is so much help and assistance for we humans because of what is happening right now. We are going through this great transitional period. And Archangel Michael has told us that things have been put into place in the cosmos. There is nothing that anybody can do now to change things so that these energy results can be reversed. And he took us back to 1999 when there was some great solar flares, and during these solar flares, the solar wind had stopped. This is the electron stream that runs from the sun to the North Pole. That is what causes the aurora borealis. And so this cosmic wind had stopped for 3 days, and the energy that was coming through the sun came from source. A source in the center of the cosmos. This imprinted our bodies. It imprinted our DNA. It imprinted the planet, and it imprinted the core of the Earth. This was the most immediate changes that is making this preparation, this foundation for what is going on today. And so as Archangel Michael has said, and other masters have said, what has now been put into place cannot be reversed. And we're happy for that, because this great advancement is upon us, and we are walking into it. This is our future now. But what Archangel Michael is trying very hard to do is to awaken his light workers and to make us aware of what these steps are, what the procedure is. And by the way, if you think that perhaps you may or may not be a light worker of Archangel Michael's, let me tell you how you can make that decision. There are a group of people, or there is a group of people, who believe in service to self. They only believe in serving themselves. There is another group who believe in service to others. Maybe something so simple as helping an elderly person crossing the street. That's service to others. Somebody dropped something and couldn't pick it up for the floor, and you stepped in and picked it up. That is being of service to others. You know, service to others doesn't have to be some dramatic thing that you hear of some philanthropist who has donated a large sum of money. It can be everyday little things where you are helping someone, where you might even hold someone's packages while they pick up their infant child from a stroller. That's thinking of other people. It's service to others, of the very most everyday, what we might call ordinary events. And if you do these sort of things, you're one of Archangel Michael's light workers. And he tells us, and I have seen this in the etheric realms, we all came with Archangel Michael when this world was created. We were here. Angels brought the blueprint. We stood there and watched, and Archangel Michael brought the string of creation. It was a red string, and it had sacred geometry shapes on the inside. And if you are his light workers, one of his light workers, you were there. You witnessed it. You were one of his witnesses. And if you're interested in the past and the present and what will come in the future, his book, Earth History, Past, Present, and Future, would be helpful. Journey to the Other Side would be helpful. All of the, I won't say all of the, but there is 10 lessons which are masters who are coming and talking about what is happening today, the choice we have to make, what is on the horizon. Archangel Michael speaks in one of the lessons, lesson 5 actually, that talks about how he is now working with his golden galaxy. And that is the next step for him, and to take the light workers with him. We call this ascension, but there are so many steps to this. So, my dear friends, if you care, if this is intriguing to you, and you want to join our next conference call later this month, you can sign up for that on the newsletter at the Conclave site. And during the conference call, we have a message from Archangel Michael. He tells us what the energies are going to be doing for that month. He has a meditation to prepare us, and you are able to ask him your own personal questions, which I am glad to channel his answers back to you. And I have to tell you, this one that we had was a memorable occasion. So please feel free to make use of this. He is calling you. He's calling you. He's trying to wake us all up. So I thank the caller for that reminder. It was a little segue into something I wanted to talk about anyway. There, I told you I had information from a couple different readings, things that I thought were memorable for different reasons. And I'm just so fascinated about this story. We're not going to have too much time to tell too much more about this, because I think we've got like 2 minutes. So it's going to be a little bit difficult to get a whole story in 2 minutes. Maybe even too late to take in a call unless it's a yes or a no answer. I do think I have enough time to talk about when Source created souls, the table or workbench. This is what the cherubim describe it as. It appeared to be a table, or what one might consider a work table. It was a specially gigantic area, as the source of all, or prime creator, is so large. And his creations are on a very immense scale. Humans could not take in all the movements and details of this work area, as it covers an area what might seem like an eternity to you. We'll take this up at a later date, how Source created with colors and emotions. The words are just so beautiful. And so, my dear friends, I hold you in the very center of my heart with love and devotion. Until the next time, this is Carolyn Evers wishing you and yours the very best in love. Goodbye for now.